Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
It's The Takeaway. I'm John Hockenberry, thinking about a voice you can conjure up even without listening to it. But oh, when you do listen to it. It takes hold and won't let go.
A rock, a river, a tree, hosts to species long since departed, marked the mastodon, the dinosaur, who left dry tokens of their sojourn here on our planet floor.
Maya Angelou speaking there at the 1993 inauguration for Bill Clinton, the poem On the Pulse of the Morning. She came close to upstaging the new president on that day. Poet, activist, champion of speaking America's truth to itself, champion of African-American women and men, Maya Angelou has died at age 86 at her home in North Carolina. She was a teacher, a mentor, as well as a central part of the black literary canon that has become the American literary canon, and her words are now part of a global literature of empowerment and social justice. Here she is reciting the poem, And Still I Rise.
Everyone in the world has gone to bed one night or another with fear or pain or loss or disappointment. And yet each of us has awakened, arisen, somehow made our ablution, seen other human beings, and said, morning, how are you? Fine, thanks, and you?
Every bit of love and joy that could be squeezed out of life, she got it. If you talk about who lived a full and a good and a complete life, you come back to Maya.
That's fellow poet Nikki Giovanni reacting to the news of Maya Angelou's death today.
She just had a good American touch for always finding the good. She and I shared a friend whom we both loved dearly named Alex Haley, and you recall Alex Haley from Roots. And Alex had an expression, find the good and praise it. And I think Maya was probably the major practitioner of find the good and praise it.
Maya Angelou was a stern preacher of truth, but she also loved life and embraced it fully. Her life as much a model for people as her words. Her last tweet, listen to yourself, and in that quietude you might hear the voice of God. We turn now to poet Kwame Dawes. He's a professor of English at the University of Nebraska, Lincoln.
At some point, somebody described her as the sort of poet laureate of black women. I think that is, in a sense, a beautiful thing. And yet, in a sense, it limits just the extent of her influence. One of the things that I've always encountered is when I meet young writers or writers who are attempting to seriously write poetry, I ask them who have they read and who are they interested in. And Maya Angelou's name comes up all the time. So she's ubiquitous in terms of American poetry, both her voice, her themes, and her ideas. And I think what happens is when somebody goes deeper into her poetry, for instance, there's a real sense that there was a poet who was very interested in craft and in the shaping of her poetry in very specific ways. So there's a position that she holds that is unassailable in terms of a voice that speaks to an American sensibility.
And her work changed the language. I mean, everyone knows about caged birds and why they sing. And the three words, still I rise, mean so much because of her work.
Because of her work. And you know, when we think of I Know Why the Caged Bird Sings, we are also thinking that Maya Angelou is doing something really critical in American letters, which is to hark back to writers who sometimes people ignore. The title of that book comes from the Paul Laurence Dunbar poem. And it's a line from this wonderful poem about masking and about hiding oneself and so on. So Angelou was always aware of creating connections and articulating the history of Africa in America, that great documentary series that she did in the early, late 60s, I think, about African identities and African cultures and so on and so forth in America remains one of the most important things that is done. So she's really important in that way. And with all these autobiographies that explore her life in these rich and fantastic ways, I think we have a legacy in her that is just remarkable, I think.
In your conversations with her and in your knowledge of her, I mean, she really felt as though her work as a poet was in lockstep with the work of jazz, blues musicians, hip-hop artists. I mean, she had a very celebrated relationship with Tupac Shakur.
Her work came out of that experience. In other words, you know, Maya Angelou, we know her history as a dancer, her history as a jazz singer, her history in performance and, you know, on Broadway, on stage. Angelou was not writing seriously until, you know, in the late 60s. So there's a sense in which she comes out of that culture and that experience. So the connection between the musical sensibility, the jazz, the innovations of African-American culture, and African-American life, and her own writing, her poetry, her essays, her autobiographical work is inextricable. And I think she was very, very serious about that and constantly drawing on it as a rich well of possibility in the way that Langston Hughes would have talked about it again and again.
She wrote a poem for the inaugural and recited it at the inauguration of Bill Clinton in 1993. And you really got the sense from her reading that she felt that a moment had arrived. But I'm wondering if she got the timing wrong, if in a sense that moment didn't arrive till much later.
Yeah, we think that. But, you know, the moment had arrived. I mean, on one hand, this was the first inaugural poem since Robert Frost. And we know the position that Robert Frost holds in American culture and American life. To have that inaugural speech made at that time, I think was really important to recognize what was going on, the ferment of great work that was emerging from the African-American community, especially from women in the late 80s and into the 90s. And this represented a kind of articulation of the power of that. It also spoke to her influence. I mean, in the 70s and the 80s, Maya Angelou was all over the world. She was getting honorary doctorates all over the place. She was a very popular voice. People knew her work. And Clinton was no fool. I think he asked her to do it because of what she represented.
And certainly Maya Angelou would always want to be ahead of history, not either on it or behind it. That's for sure. Kwame, thanks so much.
You're most welcome. Thanks for having me.
Kwame Dawes is a poet and professor of English at the University of Nebraska, Lincoln.